He was right. It's 3 minutes and 14 seconds. I'm glad y'all don't do a preacher like that. I'd be in trouble. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Somebody done unplugged the light. That's all right. We'll see. I'm going to be in Psalm 56 this morning if you want to be turning there. I found something very profound, or it really hit me hard when God showed me this. But I just hope I can do it justice. I thank God for everything He's done in my life. Thank God that when I speak, He hears me, and when I pray, He hears me. When I cry, He has my tears. You'll understand what I mean by that in a minute. And I think about all the things over the years that the battles that I've seen fought in this church, good battles. I mean, valleys that members went through and come out on the other side with a blessing and a great testimony. And I believe Brother Charlie will have a good one when it's all said and done here about how God can heal you from not being able to walk and your foot turning completely around the other way, wrong. And I mean, old Satan, he can attack you, buddy. He can tear you up. But we got a God he's so much bigger. And He's a healing God. He's a hearing God. And I run across this psalm right here in God's Word. And everybody that's ever read a psalm, you ever thought about the superscript above? You got a King James Bible, you got a superscript in that. And I preach a lot of different psalms, and I wrote some notes in there because I looked that stuff up. The chief musician means choir director, overseer, making a mention of God the Father. He's up there, he's orchestrating everything. And that word altasheath means in the Hebrew, do not destroy. You know, a lot of people don't know that superscript is inspired just like the Word of God. That's King James Bible right there. That's real too. And then a michtam of David. That means a contemplation. That means it's engraved. And it's golden. It's something that it should stick out, and we ought to see it. And that brings us to what the psalm this morning. And David here was being chased by King Saul. And sometimes in the scriptures, it seems like that David seemed weak, and he was crying. You know, is it a weak thing for a man to cry? God forbid. I had a poem about women. I wish I'd have brought it. Maybe sometime I can share it with you in church. Beautiful poem about women and their tears. But David here, you're talking about a man that killed a lion bear with his bare hands, a 9-foot giant, a little old stone, and his whole family with no problem. A man that had God behind him everywhere he went. And now I want you to listen to something he wrote right here. I'm going to start in Psalm 56 and verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies were daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will fear not what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. That's Facebook right there. You see that? Everybody puts things in there against each other on Facebook, and you hear these kids getting ruined and things about what other people say. David's in that same spot. They even had that stuff back then. Verse 6 says, they gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape my iniquity, by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Now listen to verse 8. My whole sermon ain't on this verse, but this verse really is profound to me. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou tears. Put thou, he's talking to God, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? You need to mark that. Put thou tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thou vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul. I always like the last verse he writes in a song. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wait not thou, deliver my feet from failing, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Thank you for all those that have come out. I pray for every soul in this house. I pray, God, that we would commune with you this morning, one of mine, one accord, receptive minds and receptive hearts, God, to your holy word. Give us unction to preach and power demonstration of the Holy Spirit. God, speak to us this morning. Give us strength, God, through your word. Let us strengthen one another. Continue to lift up our pastor, God, and that you would make him stronger than ever and give him the voice that we can hear. And God, legs for that voice to stand on. A straight backbone, God. And we've already seen your blessing begin. We pray for his family, God, that you comfort them. Pray for Nisi, God, that you continue to comfort her. And pray for all those on our prayer list. Many families have lost loved ones this morning. Some old saints have gone on to be with the Lord, Brother Capehart. And God, we pray for his family for comfort. A young man that lost his life to a heart attack, I pray, God, for his family, comfort them. God, just watch over these families and allow us to be burdened to comfort and strengthen those that are hurting right now. I thank you, God, for your spirit in jail this morning. I thank you, God, for men on their knees crying out to you. And I know thy bottle was being filled this morning. And thank you, God, for all my tears that reside in this bottle. And Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for salvation today. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, what he done on Calvary's cross that we might have everlasting life. Thank you for the calling, God. And thank you to be able to fill in for my pastor and all those in the church here that fill in places. God, we're so blessed, and we want to humbly thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for the song in our hearts, the songs that are written, God, in your name. Just thank you so much for all that you're going to do. For it's in Jesus' holy and precious name, God, we ask all these things. Amen. As I read this scripture, I was in tune about David and all the trials he went through. And I tell you, you can read some of these psalms. I had a sermon on the next one, but I never really went back and read this one. I probably read over it many times, but it just never stuck out to me. And then all of a sudden it floored me. Tellest my wanderings, put thou tears into thy bottle. You realize that God has this big bottle. And every time one of the saints, every time somebody cries out to him through his son Jesus Christ, you thought your tears wound up on the steering wheel of a car or in the floor somewhere, or a mother over a bed praying for her baby. You thought those tears wound up in a blanket, but the Bible says they go into the bottle of God. He's got our tears. And I thought about 3 points to make on this. God sees and God hears. You remember over there in Exodus when the children of Israel were over there and they had been whipped and made to make bricks without straw. Can you imagine? I know how mud works. Mud don't work very good unless you put some gravel and something in it to hold it together, will it? It'll just crumble up. But they were being beaten and whipped. Now, their sin got them there. And if you're hurting this morning, if you're out of the sorts, out of the will of God, You might be getting whipped. You might be having a hard time in your life, because I'm not saying if you're close to God, you won't go through a valley. But I tell you what, when you got God in your heart and you're in the valley, you're going to come back out on the other side. If you don't have him, you got trouble. But them people were crying out. God's people were crying out to him. And he said, what did he say in the Word of God? He says, I see your afflictions and I hear your cries. And I read that verse right there, and those tears are still in that bottle. Where's your tears landing this morning? You know, and it brought another thought to my mind about how spiritual crying is. Sometimes when I start to talk about certain things in my life, I can't help it. Boy, I get choked up. Because God was there all the time and I didn't know it. And God heard my cries, and He's got my tears in this bottle. And it don't go to waste. See, God hears you when you speak to him. There's a lot of people in this world would like you to think that God's got a stick with a little red end on it doing this right here, and he's blind, got glasses on, and can't see. But it's not that way. God hears every time we speak to him through his son Jesus Christ, especially when we already have him living right here. And the closer we get to him, the more we draw nigh to God. Man, he hears every word. He knows every move, and he's watching everything about us. He's around us. Nothing and no harm can come to you when God is on the scene. Now, when we get distant, that's a whole different story. When you get distant from God, you say, well, I don't know if I want to go to church Wednesday night. I don't know if I want to go to church Sunday morning. I'm telling you, that's a bad mistake. If you can crawl, if you can get here, if you can bum a ride, we need to be in the house of God. There's strength in it. And when we got burdens, and sometimes it feels like we've already cried all the tears we can cry and we've already done all we can do, we need help. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ, don't we? You see, you can't always be strong enough to even handle your own problems. I never will forget when I had a wreck up here on the mountain. It was bad. I remember the first time I went over the guardrail and that truck went, it had this bark off the tree 20 foot on the first trees right there you see off that Hog Creek going down that. I mean, it's 300 or 400 yards straight down to the bottom. And I knew where I was at. I knew it was bad. I knew all that before the truck went over the guardrail. And I said, this is it. I said it in my own skin right there. I said, this is it. I'm going home. And the first time the truck hit and my body slammed against the door on that side, I mean hard. I had big, all my ribs were bruised and it didn't crack any, but it tore me up and my face was all cut and everything on here and there wasn't none of the door left. And the first time I hit, and the truck went up there again, I said, I'm still alive. Then it hit again. And I thought to myself, I kept thinking something's going to come through here, one of them big limbs, and going to take me out. I just know it. Big 30-pound air compressor in the floorboard got by my head somehow or another. If it hit me, it'd kill me. I don't know, but it wound up out of the truck. And I hit again, and as soon as I hit, that impact hit me again. I played 11 years of football, never been hit that hard. But my point is this. I said again, God, I'm still here. And I started thinking about my family. It's amazing how much you can think of when death's at your front door. And then it hit a third time. I'm still here. And the fourth time, there was a little sapling about that big and a rock a little bit bigger than a speaker that was the only thing that kept me from going another 200 or 300 yards. I mean, it's like this. I know somebody else been in a wreck in here. He knows how that feels. And I was still alive, and that diesel was just a whining. And I looked down there after I got all the blood out of my eyes, and I looked down there on the foot. My foot was still on the gas. I don't know why. And I let off of it, and it's still screaming. I thought it was going to blow up. Diesel fuel was all over everything. I heard somebody scream, "Don't move." And all I could think about, if I don't get out of here, I'm going to die, I'm going to burn up. But you see, God was there all along. And he gave me that testimony so I can stand here before you this morning and preach his holy word and tell you I'm still alive. God was still there in that great valley. He put the ice there. He knew what was going to happen, but he watched me all the way to the bottom. And then I think again about a time in my life when I was out on the road working, and I got so under conviction about not being in God's house, making really good money, but it wasn't going anywhere. And I stopped up on a mountain when I was just crying. I mean, the steering wheel was wet, and I was wet, and I said, God, whatever it takes, I want to get home. First place I walked into that morning, I got a job. I've been home ever since. See, God hears our cries. And I kept my word. I wasn't trying to barter with God, but I kept my word. I've been in church ever since. I'm just telling you what it means. David knew in this psalm right here, he knew God. And no matter how much that Saul was chasing him and how much Saul wanted to kill him, he says things like, be merciful unto me, O God. I've got trouble at my back door, Lord, but my soul trusteth in thee. There's somebody here this morning, all you need to do is let go of the world and let your soul trust in God. It's going to be okay. Weak faith ain't good. Strong faith can knock down steel doors, kill 9-foot giants and kings that want to kill you. You see what I'm saying? God's there. He hadn't went anywhere. Sometimes we want to leave him, but God hears and God sees. Look at 2 Corinthians 16:9 just a minute. If I can get over there quick enough. We'll thump the Bible just a little bit. It ain't 2 Corinthians. Oh, Chronicles, excuse me. I knew something wasn't right. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You hear that? To show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now, there was a King Asa had rebuked Hamai, a king that started out in the will of God, but he got distant from God. And this was his rebuke to him. I'm going to read it one more time. For the eyes of the Lord run to him throughout the whole earth. God is everywhere we are, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. What I'm trying to say this morning, what the Word of God says, we need to always be close to God. If you're a child of God, you wake up with him. If you're a child of God, you go to bed with him. And if you're a child of God, you're thinking about God all day long. It ain't about me, it's about him. Everything I do is about God. And when I get a little bit worried about my children and I get a pity in myself a little bit, I start crying out to God and God starts catching them tears. But you can find your place like the children of Israel did over there in Egypt in bondage because of their sin, but until it got really, 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 really bad, they didn't start crying out to God. You don't want to let yourself get that far. So God see, God's here. Point number two, God strengthens. Let's look at Ephesians 3:16. I got so many things stuck in my Bible, I usually have places marked where I can just flip over there. But then they get took out of place when I was in jail this morning. I was flipping around over there and lost all my little markers. But the Bible says in Ephesians 3 and verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of the inner man. Now, y'all were talking about the Spirit of God this morning. And another thing that has been profound to me is everything spiritual is what's really real, and a lot of things that are physical are just that. They're just physical, like baptism. It's just a physical thing. You go down there and you get dunked, but it represents what is real, what the Spirit of God done in here. It's the same way with tears. Tears are something physical, but there's something spiritual going on in here when we cry. God hears that. You remember when he touched the hem of Mary's garment? Other way around. She grabbed the hem of his garment, and something left him. Virtue, the Bible said virtue, he felt that. That's that spiritual thing. It wasn't that she touched the hem of his garment. It was what was going on in here when she grabbed it. She said, if I can just touch that bloody garment right there, brother, I'll be healed. And that's exactly what happened. She was healed. If we would learn that when we read God's word, to apply what we see to our lives. Application is everything. I told an old boy this morning, he got up there and he had him a little poem, and he said, could I say this poem? I said, yeah, go right ahead. And he done a beautiful job. He quoted the scriptures, and he went over there into the lion's den and the fiery furnace and all that, and his little poem and everything. And this little boy, he's had a rough life. I've seen him in jail for 15 years. And he's up there and never looking at nothing written or anything. This is all in his head. He got done, and I looked at him and said, son, God loves you. When you learn to apply everything you just said and put legs on it, you're going to be going somewhere. It floored him. He thought it. See, you got to learn the mentality of these guys. They're great actors. But I have seen this man in every jail I've ever preached in. I don't have to mention no name. God knows him. I've prayed for this man a long, long time. He's getting all crippled up. But he can stand up, he can quote scripture in the Bible. Every time I go to a place, he already knows it. He just sits there, and I can hear him mumbling things that in the scriptures that I'm fixing to go. He already knows where I'm fixing to go before I even go there. But yet he can't get his life straightened out. You know why? I'll tell you why. When God told him to apply the blood to the upper lintels of the doorpost, or death would take the firstborn, guess what? If they didn't take that blood, smack the doors of that, lintels of that doorpost, there was death coming to that house. It had to be applied, didn't it? We can learn every bit of this Bible. You can have it up here, but if you ain't got it in here, if it ain't spiritual in here, it ain't going to do you no good. We find strength from each other. Another place in the scriptures right there. Let me find it here in a second. Look at Psalm 119 and 28. One more of them pages. Bible says, my soul meldeth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Why did he write that? You know what the best part of that scripture right there is? It's God's word, number one. But the best part he says right there is according to thy word. You see, God says, let me read it again. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me. He knows God says he'll bring the strength. But if we know the scriptures, and we know that God said he'll bring the strength, he said according unto thy word. You got to take every word and let it sink in. How else do we draw strength in the church? I'm going to tell you. When Brother Charlie come down here and he said, I want you to put some oil on me. I want the elders' church to lift me up. He didn't just say that because he thought it would help him. He said that because that's what the Bible says to do. He's applying the Word of God. Now, a lot of people think it's enough to come to church, hear the preacher, and go home and I've done my thing. That ain't enough. The Word of God will never be enough until you start applying what it says in your life. And you're going to see so many changes. You'll see things happen that you never thought possible. I'm not selling a pipe dream here this morning. I'm selling you what David told us in the Psalms. He already claims victory before God even answers his prayers. You ever notice that? He claims victory before it ever happens. Now that's a faith right there that we could draw near to that, can't we? God strengthens, and he Psalm 18:39 talks about he girdeth me. I'm going to go over there and read it. I ain't just going to say it. I want you to see it. Psalm 18 and 39 says, "For thou hast girdeth me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." You think those are just people in this world? Those covers a lot of grounds. Those demons that want to attack. Those demons that these little kids are running around acting like goblins and all that kind of thing and kind of making fun of that situation. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't something to make fun of. Them's real. If you've ever been attacked by them, if you ever seen people's lives destroyed by them, these young kids wearing black fingernails and black lipstick and painting their eyes black and wearing black clothes, you know what that is? That's evil. And they'll stand there in your face and this is just the way I want to look. I'll tell you why they want to look that way. That's what's in their heart. You wear black all the time like that, in that way, that black represents evil. And the only thing that'll run off black, darkness, is light. And the only place you can find light is in the Word of God. It'll light up a soul, give you something to praise God about. Another place we draw strength from is each other. David needed help from others, but a lot of times he didn't have that help, and all he had was God. But I thank God we got a church. And I've got a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ. If God would have took me out and I'd have been unconscious right there, and what I was fixing to say a while ago, when I was laying down there on a gurney, they strapped this big old boy on that gurney. God bless them, they had to pick me up. I sat down in this man's truck and he said, I said, "I don't want to get in your truck, I'll get blood all over it." I mean, I had blood all over me. And he had a brand new one of them Ford Limited jobs, you know, one of them white truck, and had many leather seats in there. "John, you wouldn't let me in your truck looking like that, I guarantee you." He said, "No, you need to sit down." I said, "Well, I just climbed up that mountain." He said, "You don't understand. You're hurt. You just don't know it. You're working off adrenaline." Well, I sat down in that truck, and then when the ambulance got there, and they told me, "Can you get out?" I couldn't move. I was hurting all over. I couldn't move. So they got me, two of the big boys got me, and they put me on that stretcher. My head was hanging off that far off one end. My feet was hanging off that far on the other. And when they put me in that ambulance, it wasn't big enough. I'm going to tell you, anybody here ever been strapped on one of them gurneys, it hurts. That thing is straight and you ain't straight. And I certainly wasn't straight after I'd been rolled off that mountain. And they made me stay on that thing for hours. But when I was laid in the hospital there in the emergency room, there was three or four people showed up from church just like that. I said, "Things going to be all right." Charlie was one of the first ones walked in the door. And I can't remember everybody there, but I counted there's three or four from church already there. You see, we care about one another. And when we find out something happens, we're going to be there. We draw strength from one another. When we're in a weak place in life, Bible talks about when you're found in a fault. When one of your brothers is found in fault. Now, I'm not talking about in a wreck or something. I'm talking about when one of the brothers has went out in sin. That's not backslidden. That's found in a fault. You won't find the word backsliding in the New Testament. It's not there. You'll find that in the Old Testament. And I'll tell you something else about backsliding in the Old Testament. They all went to hell. Don't ask me why. That's just the Word of God. But when one of the Christian brothers and sisters are found in a fault, the other brothers and sisters that's still strong in Christ, they should hurdle and cover over that that one that's found in the fault, like a mother hen would cover one with wings. That's what Jesus Christ, that's being Christ-like. That's what God does for us. We strengthen one another. Third and last point, God will eliminate sorrow. Turn to Revelation 21:4. All this the psalmist David already knew. Probably even before Revelation was put down right there. That young man I was telling you about, he quoted this scripture this morning before I could even get to it. He just ain't put it to work in his life. Revelation 21:4. Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You see, we cry right now. We hurt right now when we get in those valleys. But in the end, there's not going to be any more tears. I've got my own thought about this bottle of tears that God has got. Can you imagine how big a bottle it'd have to be to hold the tears of all the saints? I'm telling you, now the Bible's inspired, inherent word of God. It says God has a bottle of tears. He saves my tears. I believe He still got them. But this is what I think. Now, I can't find scripture to back this up, but in my heart, God shared this with me. I believe that those tears will be part of His wrath of all those people that, them saints that God sent over there to China. And when they tried to take the gospel to somebody that's lost and undone, they took them and they took reeds and beat their feet and broke all the bones in their feet where they couldn't walk anymore. Them missionaries that take their lives in their own hands for the cause of the gospel. All the tears they shed are in God's bottle. And when I was talking about a few Sundays ago here, when God comes back, He ain't going to be riding a donkey anymore. He ain't going to be looking down praying for us, because all the praying will be done. And He's going to take that cup of indignation. I believe that all them tears have been in where they attack the saints, the world, and the devil. And the blood will be the bridle of a horse in Jerusalem. Ain't going to be no more the Jesus that went to the cross and died for me and didn't say but seven things, and one of them was forgive them, for they know not what they do. It'll be over. This bottle of tears is special. He said it was special. Isaiah 25:8 says, "He will swallow death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away all tears from all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it." Word of God says it, I believe it. There's going to come a day when there won't be no more tears. There's going to come a day, my sister, when her little old body finally gives up on her, and that crippled leg and that crippled hand that's folded in like that. It won't be that way in heaven. Her hand will be straight like mine. Her leg will be straight like mine. All these young people you see with all these issues, they can't control their own body functions and things like that. Ain't going to be like that in heaven. He ain't going to be that way. God's going to make it good. That's a joy I have right now in here. But God says there's also going to come a day, you can go over there and read it in Isaiah 51:11, I think it is, the everlasting joy, it says, will be upon our heads in New Jerusalem. Right now, you got to listen to me and what's on my heart to tell that I've got a joy. Brother Charlie explains that real good. He talks about his ice cream machine down there at McDonald's. I swan you, one day you'll walk in his house, you'll see one of them on the wall over there somewhere. But when we get to New Jerusalem, the Bible says we'll wear it on our head. Now, I don't know what it'll look like, but Brother Mike, if I see you in the New Jerusalem, and I know I will, There'll be something on your head that says, I'm a happy man. And it'll be there 24/7. There'll be no darkness. There'll be no worries and all the things that we have before us here. There'll be none of that there. Now that's something to live for. This is a short life right here. But there's one thing that really bothers me about all this. The one thing that's a burden, the biggest thing that's a burden on my heart right now, that there might be somebody in this church that hadn't made preparations yet. There might be somebody in my family that hadn't made preparations for that. And their tears are hitting the ground. And their tears are hitting the steering wheel because they don't know who Jesus is. How many people are you around in a day that don't know the joy that you have in your heart? How many people are you around in a day that don't have a clue about what's fixing to take place in this world? How God's a-coming? The rapture could be any minute. How many? How many people do you see in a day and you just kind of walk by? I can't do it. I'm going to make sure when I meet somebody that I don't know, I'm going to tell them where I'm going. And then when I get done with my long line of testimony that I have, I'm going to look at them, I'm going to say, you going to be there? And they'll ask me something like, well, how am I going to do that? I said, I'll show you the way. But you'll have to get on this wagon and ride. It's all about sharing the gospel with somebody else. That's where the blessing is. We get strength from one another. God hears, God sees. We get strength from one another. And the best part is, one day there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. You come and play something this morning. Let me ask you. I want you to do something. If you got a place in your Bible, of course mine's back. Most Bibles have a page or two that's, you know, mine's got all kind of notes in it where I've wrote my Bible. But if you could write the biggest problem you have in your life in the flap of your Bible, I mean, just think about it. You need to do this. You need to write the biggest problem you have in life. You need to write it down. And whatever makes you cry the most, whatever hurts you the most, you need to write it in that Bible. The second thing I need you to do is ask God in faith to dissolve that problem. And the third thing I want you to know, if you're saved this morning and you know Jesus Christ, the Bible says there'll be no more tears. All them sorrows will be gone. You got the faith of King David? Man, he had a lot of it to read about right there. Story after story after story, how God blessed him. You know what David wanted us to see? David wanted us to see how strong his God is. And he wanted us to be part of his family. He wanted his testimony to be shared. God wanted that testimony to be shared. That's why he wrote it in the scripture. In these 66 books is the answer to any problem you got. His name's Jesus Christ. He came here and gave his life that you might have eternal life. And when you ask him to come in your heart and save you, you'll never have another issue again by yourself. Never again. And there'll come a day when you won't have any at all. Amen. Let's all stand. Those that can. Do what I ask you. Whatever that issue is, you write it down somewhere. Give it to God and know that one day you won't have to cry about it anymore. God will answer that prayer. God hears. God sees. Put your tears, it's in his bottle. You come.